Welcome back into Hawks Talk, your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks. Ian Binky again alongside Megan Robinson and Allie Wenskowski. And guys, a wet week. We only got one game in. One game, opening day, a win against Mystic. A good win at that. Looking back on that, I know it was a whole week ago. What were your thoughts on the victory?
Yeah, I thought the team looked really strong, actually. They came out fighting. I think first game of the season, you never really know how the guys are going to mesh and how they're going to play against whatever opponent they're thrown at, just because it's such a new team. It's not like these guys have been playing together forever. I mean, they've been together for a week. So I thought they meshed really well. I mean, we'll have later Mattioli and Sarge. Yeah. On our show talking about it, but I thought they worked really well together and kind of set the momentum for the rest of the team.
Yeah, no, from what I noticed at Mystic, everybody's really strong. Everybody's really fast out on the field. I think that there's a lot of progress that everybody can have. I mean, they're just working together for the first time, I mean, after a week. But I think there's so much that can be done with this team. I think it's going to be a great season.
Then the frustration started to set in a little bit. We had three different rainouts. We had two on the road against Keene and Sanford. Sanford, we had to wait until we already got there. The team already took batting practice. Then the heavens opened up and it started to pour. Then the home opener against North Shore also postponed. Unfortunately, we'll be losing that game at the Maxfield Sports Complex to be made up. In Lynn, Massachusetts in mid to late July. But anyways, nothing we could do about that. The record for rainouts is 12. Over, under on that for this team?
Oh, boy. I mean, we're already 0-3 against the rain. Yeah. Yesterday, it stopped raining at 11. I was like, okay, it rains every day. maybe we'll play today. But we did not. 12. It seems high, but we've had three in a row. I'm going to go under, but I think it's going to be close.
12 was last year, by the way, just full clarity.
That's crazy. So, yeah. But wasn't there also flooding?
There was more in Montpelier, which is Mountaineers area. I mean, their field was completely underwater.
Oh, my goodness. But we don't have a tarp, don't we?
We don't have a tarp.
Which is crazy. Yeah. You guys just told me that yesterday, and I was when I woke up, it was raining, like I said, but I was like, oh, the field will be fine. No, the field was not.
I'm going to have to go under as well.
We're all hoping for the under.
But I hope for the best.
The way we're going right now, it does not look promising. We have seen worse. There was a week last year with four rainouts.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, we have been in a similar situation before, but there was at least a game in the middle, so it didn't seem as bad.
No, it feels really long because they're all in a row. We've only played one game, and then we did travel to Sanford, like we said, and then buckets started pouring the second we got there. We just talked to the players pregame, and then it starts pouring immediately. And then I watched them unroll their tarp and then struggle to not cover the field because too much water was on it and it was tied up.
Yeah, tied up for the winter.
At least they have a tarp.
That's on the city of Sanford right there.
Oh, it is.
Not being ready for baseball season. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, it was pouring really hard. I don't know if we would have gotten the game in anyway, even if the tarp went on. But the fact that it didn't, they were playing slip inside. Yeah. I wanted to join them. But first base was underwater. There was no way.
Yeah, they gave up trying to get that tarp out.
It was too heavy. They unrolled it, and then all the water poured on it, and then they couldn't move it. I mean.
Yeah, 101 on how not to manage a tarp right there from the Sanford Banners.
Yeah.
But move on from that. That will now be a doubleheader in Sanford coming up on Thursday. So that is one of two doubleheaders in this next stretch. 15 games, 13 days. Pair of doubleheaders, that one in Sanford, and then the Martha's Vineyard trip to close it out. I mean, it's going to be a busy stretch for the players, busy stretch for us as interns, and for the fans at home watching or coming to the Max. It's going to be a lot of baseball in a short amount of time.
It certainly is. I think for the players, it's just such a grind. Every day, I know we have to get up every day and do our jobs too, but they have to play a whole game, especially the pitchers. I mean, I know they're not pitching every day, but just knowing when you are in the rotation, you might be pitching sooner or later. There's a lot of pitchers on the team, first of all. But it's just that mindset. I feel like they're either really going to have to get in the mindset, like Sarge tries to drive, of like, it's opening day, every day is like in the present, or they're going to start to feel it, especially as we get to the Martha's Vineyard trip.
Yeah, I think also for players, like with this rain out, the weight of having to get out on the field and, you know, waiting to play, it can be like mentally taxing.
Absolutely.
Trying to just beat out the rain and then not being able to play. It's like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. But I mean, you have a group of guys there. I mean, they seem like they've already, you know, meshed together well. It's only been just a little bit over a week since they all came here to the area, but they haven't skipped a beat. I mean, they are having mafia games going on the bus already.
I want to join. They offered.
Yeah, I mean, we had Jenny, or one of our team.
I don't know how to play, but I'm going to learn. Yeah. That's my goal for this season, is to learn, how to play mafia.
I mean, that's a solid goal to have. It's definitely going to go a long way if you're on the bus trips, because I think that's pretty common game.
They played it both times.
Yeah. I mean, last year it took them a little bit to get the mafia going. There were some quiet bus rides back the first few weeks, but that's a good sign that they're already getting the mafia games going. But yeah, that team chemistry is definitely there, which will definitely help you during a stretch like this one.
Yeah, especially I think it comes from leadership, and that's usually a big pitcher or the catcher or shortstop. That's kind of comes from those kind of positions, and I think we have it this year. I mean, I saw Sarge running down the line to first base just like to support his team in getting an out the first game. I think that just goes a long way, and especially having a first win under their belt goes so much further than if they were to lose that game and then have three rainouts.
Oh, for sure.
Morale would have been down, but morale is still high, which is what we need going into the stretch.
Still undefeated. Still undefeated, 1-0.
Yeah, absolutely are undefeated. Not against the rain.
One of two undefeated teams right now in the NACBL, us and the Bristol Blues, but they've already played too many games. That's not special.
They're showing off at this point.
Yeah, they're 5-0. We're still 1-0, so that's still something to put on the mantle. But, yeah, I mean, moving forward, now looking at the next slate of games coming up tomorrow, they have the road trip to Holyoke, Massachusetts, facing the Valley Blues Sox, the Battle of the Valleys, if you will, a little bit there. Maybe some kind of interesting promotional material coming out of the Blue Sox, whatever you want to call it, regime. I don't know. Not the word I'm looking for, but they're trying to cook something up over there. Not sure if we're going to do that or not.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because I'm definitely, if we do it, I'm going to film it because it's entertaining. So basically, I guess they emailed us and was like, their promotional night is the Upper Valley takes over Valley. First of all, it's not even the same valley, but it's the name.
we can let them believe that it is.
Yeah.
The same valley.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They're in Massachusetts. Yeah. It's fine.
They do everything backwards.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to play like evil walk-up songs for our guys, and they wanted our media team to like take over theirs and like I guess invade like their stories or whatever. I don't really know. It seems backwards just because like okay, it's a weird idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea, but like we can't even be the home team. Yeah. So like the point is like that we would be the home team or whatever. We can't do it because of the league. So I don't really get the point of being evil. I mean, it's definitely interesting. Megan, what are your thoughts?
It's you know, it's definitely something, I think.
They came up with a idea.
No, it's definitely a idea for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think they're definitely trying to spice it up a little bit for us. But
I mean, yeah, we need to get promotional days too, but I don't know. I just think the concept's really interesting. You know, their media people's like, this is the greatest idea, but I mean, I'm not saying it's horrible, but it's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I just don't know about that. We're talking about who's going to be most confused, the fans, the players, but I think it's the fans that are tuning in on Valley's social media. When they see us posting everything, they'll be like, wait a minute, what's going
on? It's
just
a confusing concept for all. Like, I think the players are going to be confused, and just everyone. I don't know. There had to be a better way to execute it.
Anyways, moving on from that, that's coming up on Tuesday. We'll see what they throw at us when we get there to McKenzie Field. After that, the home opener on Wednesday against now the Bristol Blues. That's at 6 o'clock at the Maxfield Sports Complex. Then the doubleheader against Sanford on the road on Thursday. Friday, back at the Max, taking on the Newport Gulls, defending league champion. Then the weekend slate, first game of the Governor's Cup on Saturday on the road against the Mountaineers. And then back home on Sunday to take on the Sanford Mainers. It's going to be a busy stretch, especially those last few games, a lot of divisional opponents. And those are going to be the games that the coaching staff said they want to prioritize.
Absolutely. I mean, I think not even just the amount of games, but the teams are going to start to pressure our guys. And I know we're 1-0, but we really haven't seen them in action. We can't really say what to predict, like what games like we'll probably win and probably won't win, because we haven't seen them play. I mean, it's who's on the mound. It's who's having a good day, or if the team really just meshes. I think they have what it takes to mesh, but this first week is going to show us, especially when we play like the Mountaineers and the defending champions, just how strong this team is.
Yeah. No, with like the rain out and everything, I just think the number one thing that the guys can't do is get like let down a little bit, because once we start playing those divisional teams, that's where they have to put in their A game. Because as you guys probably heard last week, the coaches definitely want the Governor's Cup. Mm-hmm. And this
it's
is
time.
Our time. It's our time.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit since Upper Valley won it. Lost it in 22. And then the weird year last year, only playing six games. Since we tied, three wins each, it stayed with Vermont. Don't ask me how that got determined.
Ian's not a fan.
But, yeah, this time the Nighthawks want to leave no doubt after starting that series last year up 3-1. So definitely going to be a first priority, and it all starts with that Saturday game, trying to go 1-0 every day, like they say, but like the players have been saying. But that's going to start on Saturday, but it's going to be busy, especially, you know, you have games before that that you can't overlook to get to that Saturday game against the Mountaineers. So it's going to be prioritizing, and I think as Sarge says, every day's opening day. That's the mentality you kind of have to have in a
league
like this.
Yeah, of course. And I think one of the biggest, I guess it's almost like a series now, is that Mainers now doubleheader, because you really don't want to drop both if you drop one at all. So you either want to split or you want to win both for either side. I mean, just to define your season this early on, you really don't want to be the team that drops both. But that's hard in a doubleheader setting, because if you're down one game, like really down, it's hard to pick yourself back up.
Especially Sanford, a team that had the Nighthawks number last year, just one win for Upper Valley in that season series last year. Especially for a team that went to the league semifinals last year, it's going to be so important to get a win for morale, for momentum, especially in the division. I want to give a quick shout-out right now to the Kentucky men's baseball team over there, punching their ticket to the College World Series for the first time ever. A couple of Nighthawks on the roster over there. Current Nighthawk, actually, Jacob Price, is a member of that roster. He'll be a junior next year, so he's going to, I mean, have a worthwhile reason not to come to the Upper Valley right now. He's going to Omaha, and a couple of former Nighthawks as well, Evan Byers and Kristen Howe, both going to Omaha as well. Congratulations to that Wildcats team. A great accomplishment.
Yeah, that was awesome to watch their celebration on TV. I mean, obviously we weren't there, but what a huge moment for those players, especially that's their priority. I mean, summer ball, this team and everything, that's where you come to learn and you come to be competitive too, but ultimately it's your college that you're there sporting the gear. I mean, we'll see Mattioli and Sarge in their gear today. Like, they're proud of their school, and Kentucky, they have a chance.
For sure. I just wanted to say, like, the viewers obviously are not here. They can't be with the team sometimes. Like, but one of the biggest things that I've really witnessed, and I mean, it's only been a week of everybody being together, but the charisma and just the energy that all the guys bring, and they're all from different parts of the U.S., but I think the charisma and the energy that they all bring to the field, it's especially on the bus, as you guys have, mm-hmm. have seen, I think it's really amazing. I think that's also going to carry us throughout the season.
Welcome back into the Hawks Talk podcast. We are now joined by the Fairly Dickinson boys, Nick Quagliato and Chris Mattioli. Boys, how's it going?
It's going good.
How are you?
Good, good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, a ton of off days here because of the rain, because of the schedule. How have you been keeping yourselves busy?
Honestly, just going to the gym and, just getting the work we have to get done. Just hanging out a lot.
Of course. Like every day we have set time schedule, 10 o'clock gym, 10:30, whenever everyone wakes up. And then all go to the field if we have day off, get our stuff done, and we're out the whole time, getting food, hanging out.
Yep.
So group of guys is a good group of guys. We all already have a bonding together. So
it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
All right, Nick, I'm gonna start with you. You have a nickname on the team, mm-hmm. Sarge.
That's
where
right.
does that come from?
I don't really know. I forget who made it up or gave me the name, but it all comes from last fall. Right when I first got to campus, our first practice is in, we're just doing inter squads, and I'm just so loud out in the field, and I'm the general. I just command everyone, each position. I talk to the pitchers each play. I scream. When you're in the stands, you will hear me. So
Would it have anything to do with you being an Army ROTC in high school? Would it potentially? At least the yelling out part.
Honestly, the leadership, yeah. Aspects of it.
I was going to tap on that too. You were in the ROTC for 4 years. What was that like for you? And then do you have anything that you take from that onto the baseball field?
Honestly, a bunch of confidence. And I'll just give you a little rundown. So Mondays we had academics, we'll learn about the history and stuff. Tuesdays we had PT. Wednesdays we had a uniform inspection. Thursdays academics, and Friday was PT. It was rigorous, but honestly made me a better better person. So without that, I don't think I'll be in the spot where I am today, with my leadership, standpoints and just everything overall. So grateful.
So, Chris, getting the ball for opening day, being the opening day starter, what's that feeling like?
No, I wasn't expecting it, but once I saw my name there, I was what? We're going to have this guy behind me. We're going to have a day.
That's right.
And, we did.
We yeah, did.
We had a day.
me and him have, a special connection, pitcher-catcher. He called me all year. He knows where I like to throw. He knows where I don't like to throw. And faced the lineup with all lefties, and I was just like, yo, we're going fastball chup today.
Yep.
And that's what we did.
That's what he was feeling, and it worked. So,
but yeah, it was exciting.
So both you guys, New York, New Jersey area, definitely an urban area. Is it a shell shock coming up here to the Upper Valley, or is it something that you're used to?
It's really green up here.
Yeah.
The green mountains.
Yeah, the mountains are incredible. Yeah.
Not too many neighbors.
Mm-mm.
I'm used to heavy blocks, heavy traffic.
I'm used to having a beach.
Yeah.
So,
but it's nice up here. It's a different scene.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarge, in our TikTok of the year, the first one, your teammates voted you the most likely to hit the first home run of the season, and you mm-hmm. hit two in your season at FDU. Yep. Why do you think your teammates said that?
Honestly, I'm not too sure. I guess they all
a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Nah, it's all fun, just playing the game, one pitch at a time. And, I'm just trying to put a good barrel on the ball. And, where it goes from there, it's out of my control. So you can hit it, but you can't guide it. So, that's my mindset. So
that's a good mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which, having that mindset, made me have a successful season for sure. So,
Chris, who's your pick?
Could be Sarge.
Good pick.
Yeah. That's good. My guy right there.
That's right.
So, we've only had one game so far. There's not really too much to read into, but what's your first impressions of summer ball, especially here in the NECBL?
I think we have a solid group of guys, as I was saying before. I think we're going to make a good run for it. Not just baseball-wise, but, team chemistry-wise, which is a big thing, for a team. As we always say, you got to be bought in.
You have to be bought in.
And, I think all the guys are bought in. And that's a big thing. We're going to win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And that's just because, everyone's going to be play for each other and not just for themselves. And I think we're going to have a good shot.
Yeah. How long have we been here? A week?
Just about a week, yeah.
And like longer. It's like we've known these guys for 5 years already.
Well, we're with them every day.
Every single day, you know.
Rainouts and everything.
Eating dinner, so. You know, going to the gym, going to the fields. It's really awesome.
So can't help but to notice the strong Staten Island accent on your end, Chris. besides yourself, some of the favorite accents on the team.
I like Cal and Holtz because they're from like down south, Mississippi, Georgia. Who else? Matt Brown don't really have a Toronto accent.
Yeah,
some words he says
a little bit. Trying to think, who else is from like different like states? We went golfing the other day, and the guy had like a really heavy Boston accent, like the ah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cot. You want the cot? Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. Who do you think?
I was gonna say Cal.
Cal, yeah.
Yeah. From Mississippi. Yep.
Was there a moment when you guys were playing in high school that you realized you could go D1?
I would say yes, but like for me, it was such a grind. Like, I had more downs and ups, you know, in my high school career, for sure. And also, like, travel ball. But honestly, it's all about the process, and it's not about the results. But when I was, like, 14, 15, 16, I thought it was results. You know, so, you know, results-oriented. And, like, I wasn't, like, really, like, too good. Like, defensively, I was really good. But, like, offensively, like, I was kind of struggling a little bit, and you know, had a, you know, big down year, and, you know, just kept working, and, yeah, did pretty good, and I earned my opportunity, so, yeah.
Out of high school, I mean, I threw hard, but, like, my command wasn't always there, so, like, that was, like, the biggest thing with college coaches looking at me. But I was getting recruited D1, like, since I was freshman in high school. I think I committed, like, right before COVID, so that was my junior year, and I knew I always had it. It's just like, where do I want to go? Like, how do I want to get there? What do I got to do to get there? And like, just always work hard. Mm. Like, you could be good, but you could always get better at something. And like, that was just the biggest mindset I had.
And like, going back to like what Chris said, you know, with the COVID stuff, like, honestly, like, I'm grateful for all that. You know, even though like, you know, there's a lot of negative, you know, aspects, you know, with that, but I'm just super grateful because like, without that time, like, I wouldn't be where I am today, if that makes sense, you know, because, you know, we're home and I was just working hard every single day, you know, going to the cages with my dad and, you know, hitting off the tee every day and just throwing and just doing a lot of drills. And, like, without that, like, I wouldn't be talking to you guys today in this basement we're in right now, you know, so I'm grateful for it, for sure.
So, Chris, you were at FDU when the basketball team got that 16-1 upset over Purdue. What was that experience like being on campus?
We were all at our house watching the game, and we were watching, and I was like, oh, wow, like, they're going to win this game. Like, it's halftime. And, like, you look at a game going into halftime, like, they're winning. You don't think they're going to win. But, like, I was like, they're going to win this game just because, like, 16-1, they're winning at halftime. Going to be a crazy Cinderella story. And yeah, they won, and like, we were all just like in shock, but like, we were having a good time. So,
did that have any influence on you choosing FDU, or just kind of a cool tidbit?
It was kind of cool because, you know, I already committed. You know, I committed my junior year of, you know, spring junior year, so. And you know, I guess like seeing FDU, you know, in the March Madness with that big Cinderella run, it was pretty cool. Got us all fired up.
Okay, you guys, what are some personal goals that you have on the field that you want to accomplish during the summer?
Getting better, like, any way I can, defensively and offensively, like, just picking brains of guys and just talking baseball, you know, and just seeing, you know, what guys do and what works for them, and I'm going to take that with me and, you know, see if it's going to work for me. So, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that, actually. But I guess personal goal for mine is just, like, hitting the weight room, getting stronger. Because, mm-hmm. like, everything's there, like, pitching-wise. Just once I get stronger, that's when the velo is going to start jumping.
So, hey, we already talked about how many off days we've had. Looking forward to the schedule, what is it, like 15 games, 13 days? How yeah. are you guys going to stay fresh with so many games?
Oh, we're fired up for it. Like, we are pumped.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Every day's opening day. you know, everyone's going to play one pitch at a time. And once we do that, the outcome for us is going to be pretty good.
So stay where your feet are.
That's right. Be where your feet are. Yep. You got to set the standards early. So
that's a really good mindset. But going back to college, was there a reason that you guys picked to play at FDU over anywhere else?
Oh, it was close to home. And that's probably one of the best offers I got. And, like, they're just close to home.
I felt like it was going to be a great opportunity, and my parents could come watch me play, you know, every game, every home game at least.
Yeah, that's important.
Oh, of course, you know. I mean, like, you know, just peeking and, like, whatever, and just seeing them in the stands, you know, just cheering me on, you know, really means something for me. And it's only, like, 50 minutes, you know, from my house, so. FDU is a great place.
Throughout your college career so far, what was your favorite ballpark that you've played at?
Penn State. We got smoked.
We are.
we got smoked. We lost 12-2.
Something like that. But Penn State, yeah, definitely.
Sickest experience.
It was so cool.
Appealing to two Penn Staters over here. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that works.
We're not very good, though.
I mean, when we played them, we broke the all-time attendance record at the time.
Yeah. It was like dollar hot dog
was
night.
That was this year, right? Yeah, I was there filming that game. It was incredible. I was like, all these people here
like
to eat hot dogs.
Home run.
Yeah.
Lights started flickering. I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they have the new like light show or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, Penn State was definitely sick for sure.
We tried the dollar dog night last year, but of course, go figure, it rained out. So I mean, kind of sunk that idea. But maybe we bring it back to try to break the attendance record here.
We should.
That'd be awesome.
All right, guys. Once again, that is Chris Mattioli and Sarge. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, talking with us a little bit on this scheduled off day for once.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us. Let's go Nighthawks.
The fans, now first chance to see the players in action is now Wednesday at the Maxfield Sports Complex against the Bristol Blues. Battle undefeated right now. The two undefeated teams in the league. Maybe someone's still intact. We'll have to see when we get there. Still a game or two to tackle before we get to that point. But that's when you could see the Nighthawks next at home. Home opener, be there or be square. Free admission to the Nighthawks home opener at the Maxfield Sports Complex. Until then, for Allie Wenskowski, for Megan Robinson, my name is Ian Binky. We'll see you next time on the Hawks Talk Podcast. Take care and have a good one.